what was one of my takeaways was, if I want to run 50 miles, I can't shortcut mm-hmm. that. There is no shortcut. Oh, you know, people talk about, oh, if you do a bunch of strength training and do these certain things and not have to run that long and you can go do it. It's like, sure, you can power through it and muscle through some of these things, but I can take the shortcut of the switchback and go cut across to make it to the top faster, you know, but it's like, that's not going to help me. And so it just kind of showed me and kind of brought to light more of life too, is just there, you got to put in the work mm-hmm. and you got to do, there's no shortcuts. Mm-hmm. Hello and welcome to The Scotty Show. Thank you for tuning in. This is episode number 10, and I thought it would be a good time to share a little bit more about me, your host. A few months ago, my good friend Shannon Keating invited me on her podcast, Unmasked and Open Hearted, where we sat down in my living room and the questions were directed at me for once. I was definitely a little bit nervous being interviewed, but Shannon helped make it easier and we had a lot of fun together. Sharing about yourself and being vulnerable takes a lot, and now I know how my guests might feel. In this episode, we talked about my upbringing and how I wanted more out of life. We talked about entrepreneurship, self-growth, searching for fulfillment. We talked about looking inward for answers. We talked about the tools I learned to shift my mindset for the better. We discussed meditation and breath work. We also did a little bit of a deep dive in the behind the scenes of my recent ultra marathon journey. And also, we went into more detail on why and how I started this podcast. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. And please, as always, leave me any feedback or any comments you'd like. And if you want to connect with Shannon, I will have those links in the show notes. And if you haven't learned about your human design, I would definitely recommend to reach out to her. I found learning about my human design has been super helpful, and she is an expert in human design. And so I highly recommend, if you're interested in that, go check her out. And please enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another interview on Unmasked and Open Hearted. It is Shannon here as always, and this is a special one because I am in person with a new friend of mine from my Toastmasters Club, Scotty Huffman. Hi, Scotty.
Hello.
We've just been playing around with his equipment. He's got a whole setup going on in his living room with microphones and headphones and the whole recorder system. It's much more fancy than my microphone and my Zoom calls, so I'm excited. A little nervous, but mostly excited. And as always, I am going to read out loud his bio, read his human design and astrology information, and then we will dive on into our conversation. Scotty Huffman is an entrepreneur, brand builder, advisor, podcast host, surfer, and snowboarder. Scotty has recently discovered two new passions inside of podcasting and running ultra distances. On his podcast, The Scotty Show, he uses his gift of connecting with people from all walks of life to explore topics such as personal growth, health, fitness, entrepreneurship, and spirituality. Human design-wise, he is a 5-1 projector with splenic authority. And astrologically, his sun sign is in Libra, his moon sign is Scorpio, and his rising sign is Taurus. Officially welcome, Scotty.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited. So I always like when I listen to podcasts, especially if anyone's new to you, if they don't know you, I mean, I'm sure some people listening will know you, but I always love hearing more about people's life journeys. That could be your journey into entrepreneurship. That could just be your childhood journey. Honestly, anything that you want to share. So do you want to get us started and just share a little bit more about you and just what's brought you to this moment today?
Sure. I could do a little blend of both, I suppose. Childhood was kind of your average I say middle America, but I was in California, but middle of California lifestyle, or, you know, living in suburbia, but small town kind of country vibes, parents split up, that kind of deal. Just your normal kind of kid running through life and trying to figure it all out. The nice part was having split parents. I got to go be with my dad and be with my mom at different times. And my dad introduced me a little bit to travel, which was nice, exposing me to other things that are out there in the world to see. And I think that kind of implanted this want of a non-typical lifestyle or your typical career path, if you will, even though I kind of went down that path, but it was always something that was not bothering me, but it's always something there that once I got into, after college, got into the career, my career path, guess people would say it wasn't typical because it looks like a lot of cool companies I worked for and doing cool brands and going on trips for work and doing stuff like that. But inside, I still was not fulfilled a lot. I was searching and looking and trying to figure out why, you know, I have this cool job with the surf company doing all these things. Why do I not feel good or fulfilled or, you know, satisfied, I guess, or content? I was thinking about this the other day about how I think that thought was because my parents, even though my mom was a teacher, still kind of a non-traditional job, you know, had summers off, had all the holidays off. My dad worked from home before working from home was a thing and traveled for work. And so it was, I always wanted this more than, I wanted more out of life and more. And I never worked for a big corporation. I didn't want to ever be like a cog in a wheel. And I still struggle with that kind of thought of like just working to work and make money. And my parents, fortunately, I look back a lot and about it as they just wanted me to be happy and to do whatever I wanted to. So I never had the pressure of being a doctor. I guess the premise of all that was that, well, one, I had too many options because then I got to do whatever I wanted. But it was this not being fulfilled in my career led me into entrepreneurship, led me to, I've always kind of wanted to own my own business and do my own thing. And that's how I can make more money and have more control. And, you know, my main goal is freedom of time and freedom of money, being able to live wherever I want and do whatever I want. I started down the entrepreneur path and I still wasn't fulfilled. I had this company from the outside. Everyone's like, oh, wow, it looks like you're living the dream. And I'm like, oh, not really. All of that led to realizing, which I didn't know was, you know, when I was a kid and my generation and my kind of time, it was most people was looking outward for, like, you look outward for answers. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, read this book, do this, do that, whatever. I didn't know there was this whole like personal growth and like looking like this whole industry and this whole, all these tools of things. And so all of that led to looking inward, which is what I now will share with people when they ask about it is like, oh, well, all of it led me to realizing that I just need to look inward for the answers and that all the answers lie within. And I got to unpack that and dig deep for that. So on like the entrepreneurial side of things, that I think fast tracks that because you're trying to solve all these problems and you're confronted with so many new things that you're doing before you just had a job and you're working for somebody. And now you have all these other things that are on your plate to try to figure out to make this company work that you really want to succeed and make money and make an impact or whatever you're doing. All of that will bring up insecurities and all these different things that maybe you were hiding or just had, you know, buried below. And so anyway, it led me to maybe my first business didn't have the outcome I wanted for me personally, but I'm super happy with it because it led me into personal growth and development and looking inward and finding a lot of the answers I was looking for internally.
Out of curiosity, you said, okay, I have this company on the outside looking in. It looks like dream life. What was it about that created unhappiness? Was it just your work hours? Were you putting a lot of pressure on yourself? Looking back, what was it?
Probably it was definitely a lot of things, work hours. One of the things that it's really hard to see is when you're an entrepreneur and maybe you are doing this, you're a solo entrepreneur or you have a couple of business partners, but when the early stages when everyone's doing a lot of different things, I had this thought and I've seen this with a lot of people that if I step away for a week to go on a vacation or take the night off or whatever it is, a weekend off, it's just going to crumble and your business is not going to happen. And it's like, that's not really the case. People say it over and over and you don't really know it until you do it more. When you step away is when those ideas come and you're not stuck in the weeds. And also when you're in the business, you don't get to see it from the outside ever. So you don't get to see the wins and the successes. Mm-hmm. All you see is the next step and that you need to get here and you need to get there and you're not there yet. And so you don't look back at all the things you have created and built. It brought up a lot of just looking into what I was making me unhappy, or not making me unhappy, but why I wasn't, fulfilled and all the other things. Mm-hmm. It was just another thing. And now it was like, okay, I'm going to look for some other answers. And then something popped up and got introduced to me. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know this whole world existed. Mm-hmm. And it was just me needing to deal with my internal state.
Okay.
It wasn't, obviously as you start a business, you learn. And then later you're, if I would have known this, I could have handled this situation better or taken a vacation. And like for one thing that comes to my mind, at the time I had a girlfriend and she was saying something like, let's go do something tonight or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I got work. She's like, when are you not going to have work to do? Not in a bad way, but just because that was always my thing. It's like, I got more work to do, even though it's at night or whatever. And she's like, well, when do you think you won't have work to do? And I'm like, never. She's like, exactly. So let's go do something. I'm like, shoot, that's a good point. Okay, let's go. And it was just that little thing that clicked, because I'd said that, tons of times. Mm-hmm. And just the way she said it, and it wasn't in a negative way. It was just in an inquisitive way. And it was, yeah, I'm always going to have work to do. Mm-hmm. When you own your company, you're always going to be thinking about it. So learning to shut that off, in hindsight now, it's like, now I know I can turn it off and live life a little, come back to it. And then you kind of come back to having a fresh mind. That's why I like meditation and other things like that, because you can get out of your head a little bit and not be thinking about it all the time. Like we would be, I could be having dinner with somebody and be like, we're talking, but all in the back of my mind is just thinking about whatever I need to do for the business to survive or grow or whatever it is.
Right. So it's literally not being able to shut it off.
Yeah.
Did you have any trouble with sleep at that time?
Not that I can recall. I think I always, as a kid, would have issues with sleeping. Mm-hmm. And I worked really hard to get better at sleeping. So I think I slept okay, but I can't really fully remember. I think there's just so much stuff going on then, but I think it wasn't really necessary. I mean, yes, there was things about the business that helped, and just probably it wasn't I eventually left because it wasn't just the environment that was for me. Ultimately, it was just bringing up a lot of other things that I needed to check in with myself and do the work on myself first.
So it's almost like a big mirror to inside. You had a lot of things to work on and maybe you actually weren't deeply fulfilled and happy on the inside. So then potentially looking at the business to bring you that, but then when it doesn't bring you that, then it's like, I actually have to look within.
Yeah, it was that similar. You're looking for external things, and then all of a sudden you're like, it's actually internal. Mm-hmm. Now, there was certain things, like I said, I ended up, after I did a bunch of work, the circumstances still weren't right for me. Mm-hmm. So I left. I'm sure stuff contributed, but it's like you learn things and you figure it out. And you're like, I could have done that better and done this better, but now I know. And
so a lot of people talk about, I'm doing a lot of quote unquote work on myself, which is something you just said. What does that mean? What does that look like for you? And how did you learn about the work, personal development? I know you said, I was opened up to this world of personal development, started to do the work. Quite literally, what did that look like?
Yeah, I like that because people, a lot of times I listen to podcasts and they gloss over what were the actual steps that you took? Mm-hmm. It was just went from bad life to good life, Before I knew kind of the stuff, my mom had given me a book, Good to Great. It's a really popular book. And I think she had all of her teachers read it. And I read it, but I wasn't attuned to looking for things. But I had, when I was at the company I was working for before I started my own company with a few guys, I read Miracle Morning. So I was like, let me try these things in the morning. And I had just started meditating a little bit. So that was kind of the first step into that space. And then slowly started kind of finding more books and a little bit of podcasts. What really kind of kicked it into high gear, my girlfriend at the time, her brother had did this course called Landmark. And then she did it. I always looked at her, her family was her brother and her parents, and they were really tight. It was really cool to see how close they all were. And then the two of them did that, and they seemed like they're all their family got even closer and even better. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. And this is like peak entrepreneur land for me. And I'm like just in over my head and not mentally in a good space. And so I didn't even, like, she never asked me to do it or wanted me to do it. I mean, she probably wanted me to, but she never asked me to do it or never anything. And maybe a week before one of the times they had it in San Diego, I just signed up and went and did it. And so it was a weekend seminar. You know, they're long. It's like 12-hour days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's super confronting and you do a lot. It's really cool. It's not for everybody. Some people don't like it and think, have negative thoughts on it. But what I took out of it, I just got some more tools for life. And I did a couple more of those after that. They have a thing called the curriculum for living. And there's three more seminars after that, which I did, which I don't think they're back in person, which is sad, but all of mine, this was before COVID and it was all in person and it was really impactful. And I learned a lot of tools and I took what I wanted to take from it. And then that just kind of spiraled into other things of more podcasts, ton of books, some other courses I did on meditation. And got into breath work. A lot of breath work and a lot of meditation has helped, and more so consistent with those kind of, you don't really see the benefits per se, right, from the start. And then all of a sudden, after a while, you look back and you're going, oh, I was really calm when that happened, or someone said this or said that, or I was, you know, you start to see the benefits of meditation and breath work and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And you specifically noticed, similar to what you just shared, you'll notice, wow, I would have been more reactive in that situation and I wasn't. So you can tangibly really see the shifts. What are one or two things you took from Landmark?
Oh man, there's a lot. One of the first ones was, like, everyone's scared of everybody. You know, at that point, I was really in the early stages of the business that we'd started, and we're meeting with all these really amazing people. And I was looking at them as like, oh my gosh, I better say the right thing and do the right thing because I don't want them to think a certain way. And they're so much more experienced than I am, and yada, 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 all the things. And then it's like, no, they're probably just as scared as, you know, they lock their doors at night. They're scared of everybody. One of the other big ones is like everyone's whole and complete as they are, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're whole and complete as everyone is as they are. That just kind of shifts that you need to do a little bit more work here or there, but you're fine as you are now.
I like those both a lot. Yeah. I think the everyone's scared of everyone, I think of it in a slightly different way, where I feel like what that phrase is actually doing is it's humanizing people, because we just put people on pedestals, or we see Instagram or success levels or clothes people wear or relationships they're in or where they just went to vacation. We just see all these different things and we just subconsciously judge someone, and then we rate them compared to us, and we're all intimidated by different things.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You have different expectations, or different, you think that they're probably going, oh my gosh, this guy's younger, has this cool company or whatever it is. And they're smarter because they know this or that or whatever. They're having their own, saying their own things in their own head. And one of the other things that helped, I was really living in the should world. Like, I should have this, or I should have not done that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I was in my mid-30s and I was like, I should have getting married or have a house or have babies or whatever. Just living fully in, you know, engrossed in this should and should have.
Yeah.
And shedding that was a big thing to, I mean, it's still something you work on all the time, but it's not getting stuck in it. Your story is your story.
Yeah. I like that. So just these different types of mindset tools that you took out of that, and then breath work, meditation for you. What does that look like? Because I'm a huge fan of meditation. I've been meditating for 6 to 8 years now. It's honestly the one modality that's absolutely changed my life. And I've explored so many different styles of meditation. But I know a lot of people have their own judgments on meditation, or like, oh, meditation's just not for me, or I can't quiet my mind, or, you know, I can't sit still, or, oh, I tried this, I tried Headspace, I did that, and it's just didn't really click. I find, and this is just my own personal belief, that there's a style for everyone. And like you said, you have to actually be consistent with it to notice a positive benefit. Sure, maybe you'll notice your nervous system's a little bit more calm afterwards, or you feel happier, more grateful, you know, different guided meditations, but you actually notice the effects with a longer period of time. But just to also give people just something tangible to sink their teeth into, what does the whole path of exploring meditation look like for you? And are there any styles you really like? When do you do it?
Sure. I started with Headspace. So it was guided meditation, which was nice because they have short ones and it kind of just brings you into this whole space, this meditation space. I think the biggest thing I hear and see is the whole, I can't quiet my mind or I can't sit still, whatever that is, right? I tell people all the time, I go, no, I meditate. You don't have to. I think about stuff all the time when I meditate. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll sit because my mind's restless and I want to try to get an answer or come up with an idea or a name of something or whatever. And so I'm like, all right, I'm just going to sit and be quiet. Mm. So right now I do more like a Zen. I'll sit for 20 minutes with no sound, no anything, and just quiet the mind and try to always, you know, what happens is that's where the benefits come from, because I'm sitting here and a thought will come to my mind. I'll let that do its thing. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm thinking about it, put it away, come back to my breath and just thinking and, or not thinking, but just calming my mind. And then another thought comes up, another one. And so fighting or working through those is what helps in the long term. But anyway, so I started with Headspace and then I got into breath work. And if somebody wants, the beauty of breath work is when you do a session of it, you feel really good right after. Where like meditation, maybe you don't. Breath work, you can be like, whoa, what was that? Most of the breath work I do is typically like more of the Wim Hof style. So you'll be like, holy crap, I just went to like another place and that was really cool. If people do have time or struggle with meditation, do some breath work before. And then whenever I do breath work and meditation together, whichever one I do first, the second one I can go deeper and have a better experience with it. A lot of times I'll do breath work. I'll do like 2 or 3 rounds of Wim Hof style breath work. And then I'll sit for 20 minutes because then my mind is really relaxed.
Mm. Have you ever done any of Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditations?
No.
Okay. So there's a few of them and he has you do different breath works first. And then, I mean, his meditations, you go so deep. I don't even know where you go, honestly, sometimes. I do them on my own all the time and I'll do them with like a bunch of girlfriends on Zoom. We'll like do this certain one together and we'll all go into different places and then we end the meditation and talk about what just happened for each of us. But he has you do this certain type of breath work where you basically sit there and you slurp this breath up from your spine all the way up into your head and you breathe. And then you hold all the energy in your brain for what feels like 30 solid Mississippi seconds. And then you exhale and release it all. And you do that about 10 times. And then you go deeper into the meditation. And it really does do something.
I've done some breath work style like that. Because I've done some courses with this guy named Luke and Reese over at Our Breath Collective. And I've done some of their little smaller classes and stuff. They have little seminar stuff and I've done the whole spine up and down and they do some cool stuff like that.
Yeah. But it really does help. It helps slow down your brain or there's something that it does to your nervous system or your mind body connection where the thoughts slow down and you can really drop into a deeper meditative state. So that's a great suggestion for anyone who maybe you have.
But I think the biggest thing that I always say is, having thoughts is part of it. Like people, there's this whole perception that you don't think about anything for 20 minutes. It's like, no, not, I mean, some people might get to that place and maybe that's after decades of experience or sitting, but you know, or if you get into like TM that, or, you know, like either Vedic or trans, you know, whatever TM meditation, that'll maybe help you get kind of locked into a zone. But other than that, especially these days where there's so much in our face, we have our phones in our face. I have my phone, I have my laptop, I'm texting, I'm calling, I'm running around. I'm just constantly, stuff is in there. So to just sit silent with no phone, phones off, no noise, no anything, and just closing my eyes and just me and me, that's where the power comes from and the benefit is. I mean, 20 minutes is like, it's not that long.
No, but I think it's also what I also like to tell people is you've got to look at, okay, what is the benefit you're after? Because it's less about, am I thinking during my meditation, and more about what you said earlier, am I less reactive? Am I able to witness when a judgmental thought or a negative thought about myself pops up and let it go and not focus on it? what are my actual goals here? And then what style can I take to then help me with those goals? It's less,
exactly,
you know, am I thinking or am I not thinking? To your point with 20 minutes, I remember when I first started meditating, Scotty, I literally meditated for 1 minute because I was such a type A, always doing something, beeping at cars in front of me, reacting to things. I mean, I was a kid who had like chased my mom around, screaming, I hate you. I was a very reactive person. I mean, I had all the other great parts of me too, but I was so reactive and very judgmental of myself. And so when I first started to meditate, I started because I read this book, 10% Happier. And this dude talked about meditating and how it changes life and all these things. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try this out. So I gave myself a 40-day challenge. And I was like, I'm going to meditate every single day, but it doesn't matter how long. So I started with 1 minute. It's like, okay, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. And then I would be forever, those 60 seconds, and the timer would go off. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I worked up to 5 minutes. And now, I mean, I can sit for 45 minutes and it's no big deal. I mean, my morning meditation is 20 to 60 minutes every single morning, depending on what I'm doing. So I think it is just like working with yourself, really looking at, okay, what are the benefits you want to achieve? And then kind of like you and I have both done, you find a style that works for you and maybe you pair some breath work in there. But I think it is just about figuring out what's going to work for you and then look at your life, give yourself some time, and then notice if you see changes.
I think what you touched on is the important part of starting small, giving yourself the power to do it with the short amount of time, right? So there's this great book called Atomic Habits. If anyone's looking to add something to their life, James Clear talks about creating systems in place. And one of it is something like if you want to meditate, start with 1 minute. You know, mm-hmm. I think he mentions, or maybe someone else did, but this guy wanted to go to the gym and be someone who goes to the gym, and he would go to the gym, walk in, mm-hmm. walk out and go home. Did that for like 2 weeks or a week or whatever. And then it's like, well, I'm here. I might as well do. Now I got the habit of going there. So now I'm going to do an exercise and then whatever next week too. So starting off really small is attainable, right? If you're going to tell someone to do a 45-minute meditation, their legs are going to hurt. Their mind's going to go crazy and they're going to hate it and never do it again. Mm-hmm. Starting small and then adding a little bit is the key, and the consistency is the key, really.
Absolutely. So for you, you said, okay, benefit being, oh, I'm not reacting as much or X, Y, and Z, but what are some other benefits of breath work and or meditation that you've noticed in your entrepreneurial journey, in your personal life? Like, what's the transfer that you notice?
Doing those in the morning for when I was really doing it like every single day, both all the time, it centered, centered me and kind of got me ready for the day of just being a little more calm and not have my brain going crazy and thinking about all the different things and just being able to stay more balanced and level-headed. Mm-hmm. Breath work's nice. The Wim Hof style, it also helps your immune system. So you can stay, you stay healthier. And I did it like every day for a year, I think. Mm-hmm. I never got sick. And, so there is some physical benefits as well, obviously. And I think just being calm and thinking and just being more balanced and not reactive is probably the best way to say it.
What about with your running? Have you noticed anything transfer into your running?
The running is nice because you can get into kind of if you're running by yourself, you can get into a meditative state. You kind of have this rhythm of your steps with your breath work, or with, not breath work, but just breathing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can kind of get into because I talk about like walking meditation, or you can do that with running too. You can kind of get in this meditative state of just kind of flow and you're just rolling through it. Mm-hmm. Probably easier maybe because I've been used to meditating, but also I know people that don't like meditation, but when they go run, that's when they kind of can meditate get with themselves. Cause I don't like, when I run, I don't listen to music or anything. So you can kind of just tune out and just kind of go with the flow. And also the caveat is I don't run on the streets. I usually just do trail running. You don't have to worry about cars and stoplights and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. My dad does not meditate, but he is not running nowadays because his body's just been breaking down in different ways and running creates pain for him. But he's always said that's been his meditation, is running, and he doesn't do any headphones either. And I used to not listen to music. I ran cross country in high school and then a little bit in college, and I used to never need music. And now when I run, oh my goodness, I just love music. It's like the joy of it. I'll play one song on repeat the entire run, but it just, it like infuses the run with so much good vibes and joy. I really like it, but it's different intentions, right?
Yeah. If someone likes it to help them keep going, then do it. I like it because I started with just kind of walking, kind of running like you talked about with your meditation. I started with, okay, I'm just going to go walk up this hill. And then it was, well, if I'm here, I might as well try to run up to this. There was this little mile marker. I'll try to run to the mile, and then I'll walk from there. Or I'm going to, then it evolved to, I'm just going to run for 20 minutes or an hour or whatever it was. I just put a time limit, not a distance, so I don't have to go a certain speed. And but just started off with what I could, you know, just something, nothing that like I'm trying to prove this or beat this. It was just, okay, I'm going to start small and make it attainable.
So with running, because what, you started 6 months ago, a year ago, when did you start? Have you always run?
No, I've never liked running.
Oh, okay. So you didn't even like go on jogs or anything prior?
Maybe throughout the years, I went for a run here or ran a mile or whatever, but never like consistent.
Okay.
Like I want to be running. I think maybe there was a time, probably during the Miracle Morning type things, I would go maybe run for like 10 minutes around the block or something, or run for a mile or whatever, but nothing like, I didn't like running. It was, you know, quote, painful.
Right. So 6 months ago, when did you first start this?
Probably right around January last year.
Okay.
So almost a year ago, I kind of made this whole shift of, I'm not in shape. Like I may look like I'm in shape, but I'm not. For me, I was like, I'm not in good shape. I don't think I have the cardio that I want to have or need to have. Probably because I, at that point, had turned 40 and I was like, I need to like really focus on my health, and I want to be able to move and move a lot for a long period of time. And the only way to do that is to constantly move. So about a year ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to strength train, get back into the gym and lift weights and strength train one day and do cardio the next day. And the cardio could be running, it could be walking, just some sort of movement. So that's kind of what my mentality was trying to do something every day.
Okay.
I mean, maybe it wasn't perfect or anything, but it was, that was just my goal of doing some sort of, and maybe the strength training wasn't the gym. It was just some push-ups and pull-ups at home or something like that, but trying to do something every day, getting that as a habit and a routine. Running just kind of, you know, I would go out and kind of use it as a meditation thing to go walk and just ideate and think about things and look inward and just kind of get into my head and my thoughts and everything. And then running just kind of slowly evolved from there. One of my friends, Tyler, who is a chiropractor, I was telling him I had some knee issues, and they're like, oh, they say don't run. And he's like, no, screw that, go run. And so I started running, and my knees have gotten better actually from running, but I don't run on the asphalt or the street or anything. So,
okay, so it's all trails.
Yeah, it's all trails. I mean, some of the trails, sometimes there's a trail by my house here, and so maybe I'll run to that. It's like 3/4 of a mile.
So we're going to segue into these ultra long distances that you're running. So for anyone listening right now, you ran a 50K in
September.
And then you just ran a 50 mile race in November.
First weekend of December.
In December. Okay. My months are off.
That's all good. Close enough.
The last couple months. What inspired, I'm going to now run 50 miles when I haven't even really been a runner my whole life. I'm kind of not really into running, but I'm going to run a mile. Kind of like it. Like, what inspired that type of goal for you?
I'm not 100% sure. Like I said, I don't like running really. I didn't like it, but I think I was sitting in the sauna at Breed Degrees here in town, and where it's my friend Tyler owns, and that I talked about earlier. And I think I just was sitting there going, I live a very comfortable life. And it can be more comfortable, but I, you know, just me everyone here in California, United States, whatever, it was pretty comfortable for the most part. And compared to, you know, ancient times or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know, I just kind of felt called to find something that was more challenging and do something a little harder. And I kind of wanted to see what I would do when I got to a point where I didn't want to do it anymore. Because with running, you can stop and walk.
Yeah.
And not do it. You know, you can not train. You mm-hmm. can, you can, on your training run, you can stop anytime you want. And so I would talk to some people that have run it, and I just was like, you know, I think I want to challenge myself and see mm-hmm. if I can do it and see what happens. It was just like, wow, that seems pretty gnarly, and I wonder if I can do it. You know, like, it was just something that kind of sounded intriguing. And I think probably if there was anything that maybe got me to wanting to do harder things would be Can't Hurt Me from David Goggins, his book.
Tell me about that. I have not read that. I don't know much about him.
So he's, you know, as Joe Rogan claims, like the baddest mother effer on the planet. You know, like he was a Navy SEAL and did the, like, he's the only person on the, in the ever that it has like finished Navy SEAL school, like Army Ranger school. And there's another one that he did. Mm-hmm. And he almost became Delta Bravo or something, like just a gnarly like guy that comes from, you know, just bad upbringing and able to make it. Anyway, he got into the ultra stuff and was like winning races and just doing his stories of mental strength is just gnarly. And that's kind of part of it, right? Was running was more looking at the mental side of things and like, can I, what will my brain do when I get to a certain point? Will I want to quit? Will I want to keep going? And not necessarily because mm-hmm. you're, so his, like with David's thing is like your body can do a lot more mm-hmm. than your brain thinks mm-hmm. it can. So I just was kind of wanted to do something a little more challenging, and at the same time gave me a reason to exercise more and get more in shape.
Okay. So you've done two of these longer distance races. I'm curious because that's a really long time to run. And I know in your last one, you made friends and you had those types of connections in the race, but just in general on those long runs and just taking care of your body before and after, taking care of your health, taking care of your knee, all these different things, what have been some lessons you've learned so far from this whole process?
Well, at least on the taking care of your body, I've definitely learned more about recovery. So
yeah.
Nutrition, that was one of the cool things, was like, oh wait, if I just keep putting food and electrolytes and water in my system, I can keep going. My body will keep going. Mm. So that was one of my first learnings, which is pretty basic, but it was like, oh wow, I can keep going if I just keep feeding myself. That's kind of cool. Recovery has been, especially as being getting a little older, like learning about recovery, nutrition, and salt is a big thing. You know, a lot of people, I've learned, you know, it was whatever growing up, it was salt's bad for you. And it was like actually not the case. And so I take a lot of salt.
Do you do like salt sticks?
Well, there is a brand called Salt Stick, which is like the pills, which I will bring on the long run. So yeah. I kind of sometimes, usually I have Element T that I use all the time that we've talked about a ton. And those are my favorite. But sometimes when you get in really long distance, you might not want to drink a flavor, or you might not want to consume liquid because you're just, you know, I don't get very hungry when I run. Mm-hmm. I have to kind of force myself to eat. And so sometimes it's just easier to, you can take some pills and then you get the sodium that way. So I do take those, but usually just on the really long ones.
Okay. So caring more for your body. Just
caring more for my body, but mostly the learnings have just been mental side of it, of seeing what I can do and seeing what consistency does, right? Like the first race, I didn't suffer at all. Like I thought it was going to be hard, and it wasn't, not that it wasn't hard, but it was just, I trained really well for it. And just kind of more so like, okay, wow, if I do the things and I stay consistent with things, I can do whatever I want to do.
Okay. So it's almost like seeing yourself achieve this can potentially transfer into other things you want to do in your life.
Yeah. And then seeing that, like, it's funny because a lot of times running, especially up hills, it made me think of entrepreneurship, right? It's, you know, sometimes it's hard as hell going up, but then there's a flat part and it's like kind of easy. And you're like, oh, this feels really good. And then you got to go back up a hill and you're like, oh crap, this is hard again. And then, or maybe you dip down and you start going down, you know, and then, which is easy, or maybe you don't, not really what you think you're supposed to be doing, but then also you go back up. It's just this constant roller coaster of, you know, especially running hills. It's then you're like, oh, just made me think about what it takes to start a business and to go through that. Cause you know, all the graphs are like, oh, your growth needs to go straight up like this or whatever. In reality, it's just a big squiggly line of stuff. And so it kind of made me think of just running a business as running very similar, right? It's like, okay, just keep going through this hard part. You can't see the top, but I know if I just keep putting my head down and I keep moving forward, I'm going to get there at some point. I might be on a flat part. I might go down a little bit. I might backtrack a little bit. But if I just keep my head down and keep going, I'll get there.
Absolutely. I did CrossFit in college and then a little bit post-college. And for anyone listening who's done a CrossFit workout, have you ever done a CrossFit workout?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
So, of course. Come on. A lot of people have not. It intimidates some people. But what I loved so much about that, and I still like working out in that capacity in some way. I actually found a gym here in Solana Beach that I'm feeling really good about. But there's something about that workout that I find it transfers so well into real life because, okay, you see, okay, I'm half like this workload ahead of me and I'm going to split up into these ways or I'm going to find where my mind tells me to stop or I'm going to notice, oh, my knee actually is bothering me a little bit. So maybe I actually do need to soften up a little bit in this workout and like listen to my needs a little bit more, which also transfers into entrepreneurial life because there's some days when it's like, just keep working, Shannon, but I'm exhausted and I really just need to take a nap. You know, so there's just so many ways you can take like a long run or a difficult workout and then apply it to your entrepreneurial life, to your personal life, to anything going on. So I really like kind of the transfer between the two. So that's kind of how I relate to that. And then I'm also just out of curiosity because I've seen on your Instagram, there's been some really pretty views that you've seen and sunsets and different things. What's that like for you? Just the nature runs, the trail runs, maybe running in the morning or running in the evening and seeing the sunset.
That's the extra benefit of trail running or just not running on the streets is the being around nature just kind of feeds your soul and feeds your system, right? So being able to see the beauty of nature and being around it and on the big race, the 50-mile race at the very end, one of the prettiest suns I've ever seen on the desert. And we were all stopping and, you know, I'm like, I didn't care about my time. So I'm like, I'm going to take photos and videos of it because it kept getting better and better. So that's the bonus. That's the benefit of kind of finding trails and running on because you get to see beauty in nature and you don't have to be around cars and stuff. So you get like an extra bonus, not only the physical and the mental, now you're seeing the visual of it. And I think, but going back to some of the learnings I had is, I think with running, maybe it started that for me. I'm not exactly sure, but just that there is no, I think I was looking for, especially with breath work and meditation, all these things, you start getting into this whole like kind of biohacking world where my learning was, wow, there are no shortcuts. There was the only shortcut is the long cut. You know, it's just, that's what was one of my takeaways was if I want to run 50 miles, I can't shortcut that. There is no shortcut. Oh, you know, people talk about, oh, if you do a bunch of strength training and do these certain things and not have to run that long and you can go do it. It's like, sure, you can power through it and muscle through some of these things, but really I can take the shortcut of the switchback and go cut across to make it to the top faster, you know, but it's like, that's not going to help me. And so it just kind of showed me and kind of brought to light more of life too, is just there, you got to put in the work and you got to do, there's no shortcuts. And the learnings are from all the work. It's not necessarily just the race or the ending, you know, it's the bigger learning and the bigger lesson is staying consistent. And I was running every week and taking care of my body and doing those things, not necessarily the coming to the race day and trying to do the race.
Yeah. Do you have any plan in the future?
Well, I'm taking the winter off so I can snowboard. I'll probably do some more. I don't know. It's pretty gnarly training. The one thing that was kind of bummed about, at least for me, is when you run really, like if I run anything over 20 miles, my body is just probably because it's so inflamed, is really restless and I don't sleep. You're exhausted, but I don't sleep very well.
Oh, I know that feeling. Yeah.
So I thought, oh, I'm so exhausted. I'm going to sleep really well. And then all of a sudden I don't sleep. So it's, but that's kind of part of it, right? You just, now it's like, okay, this is what's going to happen after this run. I know what to expect. And I guess my other learning, another learning on the physical side of when I first started running, I was like, oh, my knees are kind of bothering me and my hips or my ankle or this. And I was hyper fixated of, I don't want to feel anything. I want to be super, I want to feel strong and just run and don't have any discomfort. So I was looking about recovery, nutrition, stretching, doing all the different things I need to do, ice baths, saunas, hot tubs, all the stuff. And then all of a sudden, I forget what it was. At some point, I just was, I just need to accept that I'm going to have discomfort. If it was easy, everybody would probably be doing it, right? So mm-hmm. I was just, I'm going to accept the discomfort. And when I do run, usually at this point, this is going to kind of feel something. At this time, this is going to kind of feel something. And that's it. That's just part of it. And once I mentally accepted it, it was, I felt like they didn't bother me as much. And it was kind of, that kind of went away. And you just don't notice it as much. I was like hyper fixated on all of it. Now I don't, I just went on a run the other day and I was like, oh, my legs are going to feel a little funky and this and that. It's running. It's not, you know.
Yeah. So that's going to transfer into your day-to-day life as well.
Yeah, exactly. There's just, this is what this is. And this is going to be a little uncomfortable. And then we'll mm-hmm. just keep moving through it and it's fine.
So you said this experiment, conquest, adventure you're on with running, training for the runs is showing you, wow, okay, when I'm consistent, when I put my mind to something, I can accomplish something. That's a really big feat because there's a lot of individuals who will never run 50 consecutive miles in their life. Me probably being one of those individuals. Never say never, maybe I will, who knows. To that point, this big feat that you just accomplished, you did it, you're learning so much along the way, and that's one of the takeaways. You also ask people this question at the end of your podcasts. Or you're starting to, at least. We'll see if you keep continuing with it, around a big dream or a big goal that they really want to accomplish in their life. So are there any other big dreams, big goals that you have that you can see yourself maybe potentially applying this whole, can really do anything to that you have?
Maybe the first thing that comes to mind, at least something that kind of correlates to that, the consistency side, is the podcast. Like starting a podcast this mm-hmm. year was, I took the mindset of, this is like going to be a 5 to 10 year thing. I looked at it like, what kind of person do I need to be to do something like this for 5 years? Mm. And what kind of person will I become during that process? How many cool people will I get to meet and connect with? So that was kind of, it's a lot of work, as you know, doing a podcast. There's a lot of behind the scenes work to be done. And I have to keep telling myself, if I'm just consistent with it and if I just keep doing it and keep doing it, it might be painful. It might hurt. I might mess up, might fall, whatever, but eventually it'll come around and I'll succeed at it or I'll have reaped the benefits from it.
I love that. Okay. So I want to know what inspired you to want to do a podcast, because I know personally, because I'm a coach and I have many clients who I've helped them start a podcast, or they have dreams of starting a podcast, or friends of mine who have the idea of starting a podcast one day. And I do think it's a venture that many people contemplate or think about. I think a lot of people have things to say, or they like having conversations. They like talking to people. Maybe podcasts have really changed their lives in different ways and they want to give back in that way. So for you, because this is also a new experience of yours, a new commitment of yours, what specifically inspired it for you? Was this a spontaneous decision? Was it a long time coming for you to decide to do a podcast? How did that come about?
I first thought of it back in like 2019. So a long time ago. So actually I'd already thought about it. And then one of my landmark courses, you have to create a project. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. It could be anything.
Oh, cool.
There's been actually some cool foundations and stuff that have come out of that. But anyway, one of it, I was like, I'll just do a podcast. And I was going to maybe do it with a friend mm-hmm. and bought some equipment. And I just was going back and forth on what the topic's going to be, then all those things. And then I just sat on it and kept thinking about it and come up, this is a better, topic or this or that. And I just kept going back and forth for a long time. Finally, I'd been doing a bunch of internal work on myself and really kind of wanting to really dig in and dig deep on like, what am I passionate about? What gets me fired up? What gives me fulfillment and what makes me feel good, day in and day out, or what could make me want to do something over and over and over again? I didn't really know what that was. And I started to kind of realize that when I would have certain conversations with people, whether they're new people or friends, but certain people, I got super fired up. I'd be like, so excited. Either I got off the phone or in person, and I would just have all this energy. I'm like, wow, that was awesome. Like, that feels really good. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really know what I wanted to really pursue as far as maybe like career wise, or not pursue, but like change or modify my lifestyle to kind of be more, have more fulfillment and more joy and content. I was just like, you know what? I need to practice what I preach and just take action. For me, I always say action breeds clarity. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to take some action and start this podcast and then throw my hat over the wall and go get it and see what happens. So in that process, I kind of learned and found some stuff about more about passion by listening to some other podcasts and just things that kind of naturally came about, just realizing that people can be a passion. That can be a, I look back at it now and I've always noticed that I've chosen connection over a lot of things. Like I remember even in college, like we'd be having like quote study group or just at someone's dorm or someone's apartment. And instead of going home and studying, like I know I should, maybe it was like a new friend or new people. And it was, I would rather be connecting with them than maybe doing other things. And even, you know, last night I was with some friends that were in town and I wanted to leave earlier, or I needed to leave earlier, but it was like, oh, it's nice to connect with people. And I get, that fills my cup. I was like, okay, well, cool, a podcast. I get to meet really cool people. We get to talk about some fun things. I can learn from them. Mm-hmm. And then selfishly, I can see what kind, you know, what kind of person I will become to, in order to keep doing this day in and day out, because like we said, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. It absolutely is. And yeah, I would agree with you around the connection piece and just the piece around, I mean, you learn so much about yourself. You learn so much about other people and you just learn so much through the conversations.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess one of the main things I forgot, but one of the main aspects was I wanted to do something. I wanted to bring value to other people. Mm. I had this entrepreneur group and I've been, you know, I've worked, like I said, I worked a lot of some cool companies and I've done some cool things, but I've never, at least in my eyes, created some value for others and like not gave back, but just put good into the world. One of the things I saw someone write about passion was pretty cool. It was like, think about when you were in teenage years, what did you need most at that age? And whatever that is, do that. Because that was kind of a pivotal time for a lot of people. And so I didn't know there was this whole world, all these tools out there. I didn't know all this stuff. I'm like, wow, I could have used that at this age or whatever it is, right? So I'm like, okay, well, if I talk to some people, maybe somebody, I know, you know, nothing that I'm doing is not already exist or out there, but some people and some different things click with people, with certain people, certain ways. And so I'm like, well, if I can just contribute by creating more like, you know, good content and tell people's stories and somebody can, even if it's just one person can benefit from here, listening to that and hopefully taking action to creating a better life for themselves or being more authentic to themselves, that'll make me feel good. And like, I've already gotten some comments from people that maybe I was an acquaintance and they're like an Instagram friend and they reach out, that they have no business to like, they don't, they're not a close friend that they feel obligated. They got to listen, you know, but they're like, oh, thank you. That really helped, or that inspired me to do X, Y, and Z. And it's, that feels really good, you know? So there's that selfish part too, of just wanting to contribute to the world and give something, create value for them. And hopefully people can find these tools and just live a better life.
Absolutely. And I don't think there's anything wrong with selfishness or allowing what you do to fill up your cup and bring you joy. I think it's better that way because in my perspective, everything is energy. If you're stepping into this world of podcasting and it genuinely lights you up and excites you, and then you receive the comments back and it's the fuel to keep going, that's the energy that the podcast is being created with. And then that's what people are going to feel subconsciously when they listen to the episodes. And that's what you're putting out there. And it's really magnetizing in a lot of different ways. I would agree. I mean, there's sometimes with podcasting, especially the longer episodes or just certain conversations, or you're tired one week, or you're just in your head about different things. I mean, we've had different conversations. You just get in your own head about so many things when it comes to how you said certain things, the questions you asked, the time length of things, your intro, your outro. There's so much that goes behind the scenes into just one episode, let alone week after week or every other week or once a month or however long you're going to put out content, like showing up to do that, that people don't see. But I think it's wonderful when you receive that tangible feedback back and you know, wow, something that I created is now benefiting other people out there. Because I think about myself, Scotty, and I love that question you just shared about what did you need as a high schooler? I mean, that's the whole reason why I'm creating this company, Babes Rising, is to literally give young women the tools that just aren't out there that I really needed when I was in high school and suffering with all of these different things. But I think about myself in college, and I was going to college, I was getting a degree, and I was really passionate about things I was studying, psychology, biology, and sustainability. And I loved studying, but then there was all these other things that I wanted to learn and all these other things that I had going on in my life. So I started to listen to podcasts and I started to learn about health. I started to learn about like vulnerability inside of a podcast. I had a podcast inspire me to end a relationship that was not healthy for me. Like, I mean, I had podcasts help me with so many big things in my life just because somebody said something in a certain way or shared their story about something, or they shared a tool. And then I took that in and then I applied it. So I kind of have that similar outlook on podcasting, and it's literally fundamentally changed my life.
It's funny you say that, because that part of the, not only the connecting, but I thought of the podcast first was to provide value, because I got a lot of value from podcasts. Like you said, I can watch a documentary, I can read a book, I can listen to somebody's story and be like all fired up and whatever it is, right? And inspired, and I don't take action. Mm-hmm. I've listened to podcasts and I've like literally taken action that day. Mm-hmm. And it's been super powerful and impactful. And actually a lot of them have contributed to my whole personal growth journey. And, you know, one of them was a little one too, of just like telling myself a positive story versus a negative story, right? Mm-hmm. And that finding all like the winning streaks that I have throughout. Podcasts have given me a ton. And so that was why I was like, oh, well, I want to give back in that same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, I think it's a beautiful thing. So if anyone's listening and maybe, you know, in your mind or your heart, you feel something similar, what you said earlier, Scotty, is just, it's so, I forget these sayings all the time. Was it like bang on, hit the nail on the head? It's so spot on. It's so spot on. We can be talking about the same exact topic, and we can have thousands on thousands of people talking about the same exact topics. I mean, meditation, breath work, personal development, entrepreneurship, running long distances, whatever it happens to be. But there's the soul, there's the essence, there's the personality that's going to click with one individual, where another personality will click with another individual, or how someone says something. And I just believe that in the whole abundance mindset of we can only have more good out in the world. So if people are listening and you're like, oh, well, everyone's already doing it, and does my voice even matter? And will people even listen? Or like a lot of that negative dialogue is impacting you in a certain way. I would just encourage you to not listen to that and just look more in the vein of your personality, your voice, your enthusiasm, your quirks, whatever it is about you, your story, how you interview, how you put together episodes will impact the people they're meant to impact. And we do need more voices and more people spreading good messages out in the world. On my little soapbox of, if you want to start a podcast, just start it. I would kind of encourage people, if you are listening and thinking about it, to take the steps.
Exactly.
There's a lot of steps too. There's a lot of steps. So start now, because there's a lot of stuff, you
know,
in front of you.
It's, you know, I've really having to practice the like take messy action, you know, like I was mentioning, you know, I feel obligated to do, you know, at least attempt to do a really good job at, you know, writing intros and reading intros, or, you know, doing the imagery or doing all the little things to put a good episode together to like kind of honor my guests, you know, and make sure they feel like that, you know, it is in good light or whatever, right? It's just me, my personal thing. But even in that, I'm like taking messy action, maybe only recording one take or whatever it is, right? Just because otherwise I just sit on it. I don't put it out there. You know, this last one, I took like a month, more than a month to do my another episode. And I just was like, wow, this is way too long, which I was planning on doing like every 2 weeks. So I've already gotten a little behind.
Yeah. And
but
then,
it is what it is. You know?
Yeah. And you publish the episode and you just keep going, especially if you're okay, you're looking 5 to 10 years, or you're just thinking of it as a more long-term thing for yourself. I mean, there's so many things that are going to happen along the way.
Yeah.
It is a really good personal development tool, because similar to, I mean, it's an entrepreneurial venture, but yeah, you do. I mean, you see where you're a perfectionist, you see where you criticize yourself, you see just all of these little habits and quirks about yourself. and even just being able to like show up consistently to a project and keep going with it, because it is a commitment.
That's where it kind of ties back to the physical. Like, I'm good at doing all the physical things. I can work out, all the, you know, run and do like, but take those consistent steps. And now I'm trying to make sure I translate that, and we're not trying, but working on the other things, the podcast and the all the other little things I want to do, because that's what that I'll say, like, I've been really big on, I know I mentioned earlier, on the doing something every day physically, movement, and I've kind of translated that movement to just, I say, daily movement to everything, right? Where I want to do physical movement, which actually now I'm even looking more into. My part of the running was recovery, and one of my friends is on his feet all the time and he wouldn't be as sore, and he's older than I, and I'm like, what the heck? And I'm doing all the nutrition, all the things, but movement helps you recover from the excess movement. So sitting at a computer all the time is not really beneficial for me. So I've put a big emphasis on movement and physically, but then also mentally, you know, doing stuff for my brain. So reading, meditating, breath work, connecting with other people, being present, working on movement as much as possible.
I love that. One guy, Dylan, a mutual friend of ours in our Toastmasters group, he did one of his speeches on move. I think you, is there a sticky note on your computer that says move?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. So his, I saw that right when I walked in. I was like, move. But he did one of his speeches on move being an affirmation of his when he feels like stuck in life, or, you know, maybe has a negative mindset or whatever, just move. And since that speech, I have been doing that. And oh my goodness, does that work? Because I also know, I mean, because I'm like so into human design, that I know in my human design, I'm like, I have a lot of energy and I'm supposed to be like really busy all the time, bouncing back and forth between different things, getting inspiration from different environments. And I do find if I am feeling stuck or I'm in an emotion or whatever it is, it's not out of avoidance. It's more out of just moving the energy, getting new inspiration, shifting things, shifting a perspective, but just moving to a new environment or sitting versus standing, or yeah, put on a song and go on a walk or dance or whatever it is, actually does really help you flow through things better.
I tell myself, I check in every at the end of the day about like movement. What did I do for movement today? My other one is create, which is kind of more like on the brain side of things, is I want to create more than I consume each day. So I work on limiting my consumption of stuff. I don't really watch any TV anymore, but I'm still on my phone and my computer too much, reading articles, reading whatever. So really focusing on, like you said, move, taking action. I think that goes back to taking action, is getting, doing something. Or if I'm feeling stuck or I'm on my computer working and I'm just kind of lackadaisical, okay, maybe I'll go do some push-ups or go meditate or breath work and take a break and then come back at it and try to get refresh my mind every day, wanting to move and create.
I love the create more than consume. There's another woman that I really look up to in a lot of ways, and she's written a few different books. She has a podcast, and she shares that she always creates before she consumes every single day. So she'll make sure she sits down and writes the book, or she writes a blog post or a newsletter or some type of program that she's creating for her business. And I've been thinking about that lately because I'm actually really appreciate that you brought this up. I think I needed that today. I just sat down, sat my booty down last night, and for like the fourth time started writing this book that I'm writing. It's honestly, it's the perfect timing to write it because now I'm just really clear on exactly what I'm going to write. But with that, it, like anything, right? Okay, you're writing a book or you're creating a podcast, you just learn as you go. So you spoke to creating the messy action with things. You have to take messy action. You have to just make little mistakes, bump into things. Okay, this is how I do an intro. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, I want to do it this way. With the book, I was thinking, okay, so I'm going to have to be disciplined in these different ways and sit down and write this book because it's not going to write itself. And I'm going to have to figure out, okay, is the morning time better? Is the evening time better? When do I get inspiration? And it's just going to be this process of just kind of like learning, but I'm in my head like thinking about it before I just like jump in and do and see what works. But something I've been thinking about has been, okay, I'm going to need to focus on creating this more than I'm consuming anything outside of this. And so I've just been thinking about, okay, is it going to be the morning time or is it going to be the evening time? Because going back into high school, I remember whenever I would write a paper, whatever it was, I would wake up at like 4 a.m. and then from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. I would write. So anyway, I was just thinking more about, okay, how am I going to actually fit that in? I think it's a really good thing for a lot of us to think about because we are creators and creating is so fun.
Have you figured out what time works best?
No, I haven't. Because last night I just sat down and tried out the evening.
A lot of what they say, I mean, everyone's different, but I think probably on the majority is there's that morning time of whenever you wake up to whatever it is after you kind of do your little and get out of your groggy state of mind and you kind of wake up, having that 2 to 3 hour block is when a lot of people can be the most creative and really in tune. And so that's with the, you know, keep your phone off or don't check all the things and get distracted and you just kind of can get in your zone. I work to not have meetings in the morning. Unless it's East Coast, sometimes you have to, but usually I will schedule meetings in the afternoon. So then in the morning is this time of doing that kind of work.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to play around with it in the morning and it's just going to, I'll have to switch around my workout schedule and my gym schedule. But I think at this new gym, I'll be doing classes at noon. I just have to structure and then breakfast time. And then you kind of structure your whole day. I'll figure it out. But I do, especially for podcasting, I love the evening time. You don't do solo episodes, but I do solo episodes and I just love, it's dark outside, I'll light a candle, I'll drink tea, and that kind of evening energy I really like working with. So I'm going to play around with that for the book writing too. It's like, it's just so peaceful. It has to be though, morning or evening.
It's also nice in the morning because when you do it, you've kind of, you have that accomplishment.
Yeah, it's done.
It's kind of checked off or nothing. For me, something comes up unexpectedly or this comes up or that, then all of a sudden you get distracted and you don't do it, right? That's why I like to, if I can, work out in the morning. Sometimes I don't, but then it's done and nothing comes up to distract it.
Okay, so something I do want to dive into just with a little more time, because you share with me earlier, you've got these four different well-being perspectives: physical well-being, mental well-being, spiritual well-being, financial well-being. I feel like we talked about physical, talked about mental, spiritual to an extent though. What do you mean by spiritual well-being? Is that meditation for you or what does that look like for you?
I think that can look like a lot of different things for different people. For me, I think meditation maybe is part of it. Also just, I come from my parents and I grew up in the religious world. I think the spirituality of it is just for me is I guess surrendering or just knowing there's some other force out there that's help making things happen for me. You look at, I love when people say if you look at nature, right? Nature's perfect, right? It's just, everything is working in the way it needs to. And we humans are actually also nature. So that means we're perfect and things are working in our favor. I mean, if you look at a tree or for us, and it came from this tiny little microscopic thing. It had the blueprints to create us, give us our colors of hair, our height, and all the different things, right? So I think for a while for me, I didn't believe maybe in anything, or just was told myself a negative story instead of a positive story. So now my story, it's just as easy for me to tell myself a positive story as it is a negative story. So why not? Why isn't the universe conspiring for me? You know, if I'm looking at it from that angle, even if something really tough or hard comes out of it, like entrepreneurship, starting a business, maybe it not going the way I want it to go, but it led me down a certain path and now I'm better for it. So knowing that even if something quote bad or hard is happening, that typically usually when it comes back around or time goes by, it's, you look back and go, oh, that was actually really, that led me to this. And you know, all these kind of good things can come from it. But I'm also looking for the good things to come from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I shared this with you the other day. I have an affirmation, everything always works out for me. And then life is happening for me. So
exactly.
Yeah, it just helps because I've trained myself to believe that, right? I didn't always believe that. To some extent, I've been optimistic in different ways, but like you said, in retrospect, you see, oh, okay, when that thing that was so difficult when it happened, look at everything good that happened because of it and X, Y, and Z. And when you look at things that way, but now I do find just if anything quote unquote negative or bad happens, I know deep down, okay, this is happening for me. Something good is going to come from this. And so it just helps you in those moments when things are really challenging or you're feeling intense emotions or something pops up in your life unexpected. If you have that mindset so deeply ingrained within you, you will get through it. You will get the lessons. And it does help you, like you said, surrender to whether it's God, the universe, whatever you do tap into, there's something supporting this behind the scenes. And I'm not just alone in this, just a victim to bad things happening.
I think that's the powerful part is just the learning, the lesson, right? Mm. Like that this is happening because maybe you haven't learned the lesson that you were supposed to learn a while ago. And so it's coming back. There's something there to learn from it. So even if you don't, it's not a great outcome, if you learn from it, that's all that's needed.
Mm-hmm. I also have another mantra. I am learning. One of my friends in their phone, it's Shannon, IAL, Shannon, I am learning. Because when we first met, it was one of the first things I said to them, like, I am just always learning. I'm learning, I'm learning, I'm learning, I'm learning, I'm learning behind the scenes, always learning.
I love I think Jay Shetty talked about the monk philosophy of, it was, I'm always a student and I'm always a teacher.
I like that. I very much have that perspective.
And that was kind of part of the, you know, back to me making a podcast was, I want to learn from everybody. I can learn from people older than me, younger than me, any, whatever it is. It's like, there's always something to learn from somebody.
Oh, always. And kids. Yeah. You said older or younger. You know how much we can learn from kids? So freaking much.
Well, that's what we all are trying to do. I mean, for the most part, we all want to go get back to that kid state of mentality of before life is real. They will write on the wall and cram. They haven't like figured out. They haven't like started judging themselves or caring what others think of them. They live purely in the moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know about everybody, but at least me and a lot of different people are chasing that, is like, that's the key. And that's what I work on a lot lately, is being so present in the moment, because that's literally all we have, is this exact moment.
Yeah. Your life is here. Last year, I put something right outside of my door when I walked out. Shannon, this is your life. This right here is your life. I almost honestly got it tattooed on my arm. Remember, this is your life. It's not if this happens or if that happens. It's not 10 years from now. It's not 2 years from now. It's not tomorrow. It is literally right here. And then when you recognize that, okay, this is my life right here. Okay, well, what do I want to do about this moment? You know, then all you have to worry about is literally this moment in front of you. Okie dokie. Let's dive into the final 8 questions. I'm pumped because I didn't prep these for you, or I didn't prep you for these, which might make your 5-1 projector self a little nervous. First question. What is something simple that brings you a lot of joy?
Nature. The colors and the clouds, the trees. I just, finding the beauty in nature is such a, brings a lot of joy.
Great answer.
It's all around us. Like, I mean, you don't have to be out in the woods to find that, right? You can see a flower, or even like the golf course is fresh cut and the greens are hitting a certain way from the sun or whatever it is, right? Or, you know, I love sunsets, like finding sunsets and stuff like that, or in sunrises. So nature for sure is the easiest.
Thank you for that answer. What is one thing you love about yourself?
Probably looking at the positive side of things, finding the positive out of the situation or whatever it may be. I think that's a trait I love, and also a new-ish. I think I was like that for a while, then fell off of that, and then I got back to that of the finding the good and the positive of things, and just seeing everything as a positive.
Yeah, it's a beautiful perspective.
Yeah.
What is a quote or affirmation that speaks to your soul and keeps you going?
I have a lot of affirmations that I use and say or write down. I usually write them a lot. But I think kind of what we said earlier, the universe conspires for me, believing that and telling myself a good story versus a bad story is super impactful for me.
Love that.
All right. These next two go together, going into the theme of the podcast, Unmasked and Open-Hearted. First one, going into Unmasked, what is one mask that you are actively taking off inside of your life, and what does that look like?
I think probably the mask would be, I don't know if it's a mask, really caring what people think, or also just being more open and vulnerable, or just sharing more. I think the more that I can share about myself, the better. Something comes up. If I didn't share this, somebody wouldn't have done, or they wouldn't have been able to help me. Or, you know, like a silly example is my sister fell in love with these Highland cows when she was in Scotland. There's like these cows with, it looks like they have like hair in front of their eyes, right? And she just thought they were the cutest, coolest things. She'd never seen one before. And where we grew up, there was a lot of cows and a lot of ag and stuff like that. So, but never seen this cow. And so as we were all coming up to my mom's for Christmas, where we grew up, my sister, whatever, got the itch to Google Highland cows for whatever. And then there was a farm with them that sold them to like to people in Fresno. And my sister looked at, well, it's probably out in the outskirts in some of the like smaller ag towns. And she looks up and she's like, oh my God, it's like right down the street from our mom's house. My mom's kind of out, kind of in, you know, on the edge of the town where all the, a lot of ag and stuff. And so she's like, Mom, you could never believe there's this place right down the street that has these cows. We got, you know, whatever, but they're behind a fence, but there's a people, you can go buy them. So I'm at my friend's house and he's giving me a tour of the house I just bought. And there's in one of his daughter's room, there's a photo of a Highland cow. I go, oh my gosh. And I told my friend's wife that story. And she goes, that's my best friend's property. I can take your sister. Don't tell your sister. I'm like, I'll take her there. She called up her friend. Later that day, my buddy and I go to get lunch or whatever. And later that day, she goes over to my house and tells my sister, like, oh, just get in the car. I want to show you my house. And my sister's like, this is weird. Not friends with her or anything. Knows her, but not like they're close. And she surprised her and showed her the cows. And so that's like a simple sharing, but just like share, the more I can share. And that was actually going back is that was one of, that's like my, what I look back at Landmark is like one of their big things is sharing. We don't share enough. Me, like my family, we don't talk about things. You don't share things. And so that's what I work on the most is sharing.
Thanks for sharing that story too. That's so sweet.
Yeah, it was really fun. So she was super excited.
What a special treat for her. Just because, yeah, you shared that. But I do love that. I would agree that that's a big motivator for me because I am someone who can share a lot. And that's something I do in my podcast, is I'll share different experiences and things I went through. And it's always in the back of my mind, I'm doing this because I know that it could help somebody else. And if this helps somebody else, it's so worth it. It's worth sharing. It's worth being uncomfortable. It's worth being vulnerable in that way because we all are here to help each other.
Exactly. And it's at the end of it, nobody's really thinking about me or us, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have to get out of my head of caring what people think or what they might think or say. Either they're going to judge me whether I do something or whether I don't do it. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, they're not thinking about me. You know, I forget somebody said, they're like, yeah, you know what? You're going to die. People are going to go to the funeral. And then someone, after a while, when they're all sitting around, someone's going to say, is anybody hungry? And they're going to go order food and they're going to go eat food and they're going to forget about you. So just do what you want to do.
And if people are judging, I mean, we could go so deep into judgment. Yeah. They're judging themselves. And
oh, yeah, there's a,
you don't have to be in their head. That's what I always think. I'm like, okay, if someone's judging me, I don't have to sit with those judgmental thoughts. They can, and they can sit there and they could judge me, but I can go and hop back on my bike and do my thing.
Yep.
But I think it's an important thing because we do stop ourselves from so many things because we're so scared other people are going to judge us.
And mostly it's like we're judging ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. That was like I said with the kid, like kids don't know how to judge themselves until a certain age.
Yeah, so true.
So we're judging ourselves for all the different things we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think for me, when it comes to judgment, something I think about, because I was thinking about this the other day, I do care what people think of me, but it's not everybody. It's just the people who are close to me. I genuinely do care. I care, okay, am I being a good friend? you know, am I showing up enough? Did I do something that hurt you? Like I really deeply care and I internalize a lot around that. But it's not just any stranger out there, or people listening to my podcast, or, you know, someone I'm just meeting. It's those people who are deeply close to me or that I've invited in, that I value their opinions and what they're thinking. And, you know, like I care in that way. But I think so many people are spending way too much time thinking about people that genuinely don't have a deep connection to their lives. What helps you to open up your heart?
What context?
I've never had someone ask another question about this question. Just like that feeling of, okay, my heart's open. I'm feeling loving in this situation, or I'm feeling loved, or I'm just open in this situation. So it could be, you know, as examples, being around kids or listening to music or connecting with somebody you really love or a friend of yours. Painting, creating a podcast episode, just something that just like helps you genuinely feel very open and maybe in a state of non-judgment.
It's a good question. Kind of going back to what we talked about earlier, just connecting with somebody and having a good conversation. And sometimes that, for me, it's, I kind of feel safe with somebody. I feel open to sharing or saying certain things or talking about it. But I think just connecting with somebody on like a deeper level feels really good. And just being able to, you know, share, would not worry about judgment, or, you know, talk and just have a good conversation. And that's probably what happens the most for me.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing about feeling safe. I think that's a huge thing that a lot of people don't recognize the importance of, especially when it comes to opening up your heart, actually feeling safe with an individual. Next question. Who is a woman who inspires you and why?
Well, I try not to be the cliche, mom. Like my mom.
You can. A lot of people say that.
I know. That's why I was like.
I think all of the men have said that.
I know. I was like, who else? Who can I say that's not my mom, right?
Every male I've interviewed has said mom.
Yeah. I mean, this is an easy one, right? The woman that obviously inspires me the most would be my mom. We also have like a really, really good relationship. So it's always fun to hang out with my mom and chat and talk about all the things. She inspires me mostly because she's super strong. And speaking of like consistency and like putting in the work, like she puts in the work and she works hard and she puts herself she puts others before herself a lot. She was a teacher and a principal, and she gives a lot of herself to others.
Well, that's amazing. Second to last question. If you could give your younger self some words of wisdom, what would you say to him? And let's go to like middle school age.
Middle school?
Maybe elementary, middle school.
I don't know if my middle school self would be attuned to anything that I would want to tell them, but middle school.
Elementary school.
No, that's probably worse.
High school. Any version of you that pops in your mind. Let's go there.
Well, middle school, I would probably tell myself to lean in more into snowboarding. I was, not that I was amazing or anything, but it was just so early-ish in the snowboard world. I really enjoyed it. I didn't lean in. I did it a lot, but we didn't live close to the ski resort. It was kind of close, but not that close. And it wasn't a good one. And I probably could have leaned in more and tried to get more support from the parents to go do that more and maybe pursue some more fit, like pursue maybe some stuff in that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Final question. What are the two songs that you want to add to our Spotify playlist? These will be your signature infusion on the playlist.
I don't know if I know the names of the tracks, but just because I love them, and there's this Mumford & Sons album that they did called Johannesburg, and there's only like six songs or five songs, and they have a couple other musicians from different parts of the world on there. And it's super, it's just a really cool little mini album. But I'd have to get back to you on the name of which song. There's, I think, five or six, but they're all really good.
Okay. Are those both of your songs, or is that one song?
No, just one song.
Okay.
And then the second song that pops in my head, I don't know the name of that song either. I have it on my playlist, but it's a, there's a Mac Miller song. Mm. And it's just a very positive song. Mm. Okay. Kind of going back to the like telling myself a positive story. If I'm watching like gnarly, like, you know, SVU Law and Order episodes or scary movies or listening to like super sad songs or whatever, it's like I'm gonna be in a, if I'm, that's my surrounding, my subconscious doesn't know what's what, you know. So I've been really focusing on positive consumption, you know, more positive music, positive books, positive documentaries, movies, what have you.
Oh yeah, it is so important. I don't not understand how people watch Law and Order before bed, or
it would give me nightmares. I'd watch the SVU, that's like the worst one, and just thinking people are gonna, it's just not good.
My mother literally can just watch that and just go to sleep and say it doesn't impact her at all. I go in and I'll watch 1 minute of it and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight. What did I just watch?
Well, it's also like the work, you know, doing work and learning about your subconscious and how you can rewire certain neurotransmitters and different things. So it's, if I'm watching a book or listening or, you know, a song makes me in a sad mindset, it's like, I don't want to listen to that.
Yeah, I'm excited for this song. Maybe I'll put it on a playlist of mine. I like Mac Miller.
Yeah,
and I just love music. And I would agree, like I'm always vibing with different music depending on how I want to feel or if I'm working out or the messaging in songs. I think it's really important. And it's a great way to change the vibe and the energy around you.
All right, Scotty, this was awesome. For people who want to connect with you, where's the best place to find you?
Probably, well, you can go to my website, which is scottyhuffman.com. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty much just my podcast episodes are on there. My Instagram is scottyhuffman_. Mm-hmm. Find me on either one of those.
Yeah.
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all the channels, if you will.
Reach out, listen to his podcast. He's got some really good episodes. I've told him 2 episodes of yours, I think, made me cry. I know one definitely did. I mean, I like a big, big cry that I really, really needed to have. So they're really great episodes. And now I got to know a little bit more about him. So you can follow him on Spotify, Apple. You can follow him on Instagram. Of course, I'll have everything in the show notes as always. And thank you so much, Scotty, for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. And I'm excited that this is your first live recording.
I know. It was so fun. I really like it.
And that's a wrap. Thank you for listening to episode number 10 and learning a little bit more about me. I appreciate you. And if you want to support the show, please share it with your friends and family and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to connect with Shannon, her links are in the bio. Check her out. She's awesome. She's a great coach. And if you want to learn more about human design, you can do so there. Also, in the episode, I mentioned a little bit about recovery and how important electrolytes are. I've been using LMNT for, probably 2 or 3 years now. I take it every day. I take it on my runs. Staying hydrated is super important, and most of us are lacking in that department. So check out the link in the show notes. And my favorite flavor is raspberry, if you were wondering. And that's it. Make it a great day.